So I'll be talking about the following paper of Chen Liang Li that analyzes Rozanski-Witten theory using the Castello-Guillaume framework. And I also hope to maybe more broadly illustrate how one might use the Castello-Guillaume framework to analyze a quantum field theory and like what sorts of things about a quantum field theory that you can hope to say about it. Let me begin with some orienting remarks in case you were sort of following the narrative in Justin's talk. So in Justin's talk, we were formalizing Rozanski-Witten theory in the language of vectorial TQFT. So there's an expectation that Rozanski-Witten theory is some fully extended TQFT that assigns to a point some nebulous two category that's only known by the letters K, R, and S. And sorry? Yes. this is some two category which is very very abstract, but so by virtue of being a TQFT to the sphere, it should assign some E2 algebra. Or some E3 algebra, sorry. So the goal of this paper and my talk will be the following. So given an E3 algebra, one thing that you can do is you can compute its factorization homology over various manifolds. So we're going to try and describe the factorization homology of C3 algebra over HG, where HG in a closed three manifold is a homeomorphic to an open handle body. Okay, so so today I'll tell you about the classical theory and it's called the naive quantization. And next time I'll tell you about, next time we'll analyze the quantum master equation, which this is where things like anomalies come up, and study the quantum observables. Okay. Okay, so I'm going to fix some holomorphic symplectic manifold. An M closed three manifold. So to describe the fields, I'm going to use the language of L infinity spaces, which is a formalism for doing derived smooth geometry that's particularly suited for the following type of situation. It's particularly suited for describing objects that are like families of formal moduli problems that are parameterized by smooth manifolds. So to any complex manifold, So We can associate some L infinity space called denoted X double bar. So this is a manifold equipped with a sheaf of curved L infinity algebras. So this is the pair of X and a certain sheaf of curved L infinity algebras, and this is given by the underlying graded sheaf of graded vector spaces is given by Durham forms on X tensor the holomorphic tangent bundle shifted by one, and to specify an L infinity structure that's the same as equipping cochains on it with a differential, and the differential is that coming from cochains here will be if you look at the holomorphic jet bundle on X and look at its image under the Durham functor, this has a differential, and that's the differential here. So that specifies the L infinity structure here. So given that, the fields are going to be maps from the Durham space of M to X del bar. But what we're going to do is we're going to study this only in the neighborhood of constant maps. And since that's what we want to do, we can replace this with something much easier. So we can linearize around some constant map. And what we find is just the Durham complex on M, tensor sheaf of L infinity algebras shifted by one. So all this guy E, and this is our space of fields. Okay. In the BV formalism, how you specify a classical field theory, I need to give you some odd shifted symplectic vector space together with some functional that satisfies an equation called the classical master equation. And I've given you one piece of data, so let me continue. So the shifted symplectic structure.
Just again, F was a constant map.
Yeah, F was some constant map. Right. So the symplectic structure will be given by some form valued pairing, which will take So I'll use the integration on M and the symplectic structure on X. The resulting thing is some form on X. Okay, so the last piece of data that we need is some functional that satisfies the classical master equation. So our space of functionals is going to.
The definition, sorry, of G of X, was it like, is A of X the Dolbeau complex or?
Just the entire Durham complex, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So our functionals are going to be the completed symmetric algebra on the dual join H bar. And the action functionals will be local functionals, which will be specific functionals that depend on jets of fields and are valued in densities. Okay, so constructing the action functional involves a little bit of work, but the work involved is very similar to a construction of deformation quantization due to Fedosov. So I suspect a lot of people in the audience might be familiar with this, so that might be something to keep in mind as I go through this construction. I don't think so. The action functional, like there's a term in the action functional that involves like Fedosov's abelian connection.
Okay. Is that some kind of quantum thing or something, or?
I think so. It's I'll go through it and then maybe it'll so this is something you're familiar with. This is something to keep in mind. So, okay, so we're going to let W be the following following bundle. So this is called the holomorphic Weyl bundle. So a section of this I'll denote in indexful notation as follows. There should be more indices, or whatever. I can have anti-holomorphic guys as well. Okay, that was a lot, these are just the form coordinates, and these are generators here.
So isn't this the same as, or almost the same as Gram complex of coefficients and jets?
Yeah. Sections of this have a holomorphic star product. Which is defined using like the usual formula for a the star product from I should say I'm probably going to be off by factors of I a lot in this talk. Yeah, this is in holomorphic Darboux coordinates on X.
Okay, I see.
Yeah.
So you're already assuming that the Z's?
So it's identifying by the tangent to the neighborhood of X.
Sure.
So you've kind of linearized for uniform neighborhood of every point.
Should there just be all of the indices on A, on the subscript A?
Yeah, sorry. As I was writing this expression halfway through, I was realizing that I needed twice as many indices. So, yeah.
Let me even slow you down more because I'm not quite as familiar with this way of writing things. So I've written something like maps into M Dirac, like, you know, if I were doing the global thing, into X. And you're going to take a point in X, like the... You have this constant. Sorry. And or you're trying to replace X by like an L infinity space. Can you say exactly how that worked? So I know you're saying that you have this formal moduli problem given by the shifted tangent bundle. Why are you tensoring it with the Dirac complex?
So, here's what to say. So X maps to X Dirac.
Yes.
Push forward O.
Yes.
You get a sheaf of formal moduli problems for this Dirac.
Yes.
It's not voided.
Yes.
So.
I see. So that's what this is.
So we place that sheaf of formal moduli problems using deformation theory. Say it's equivalent to a sheaf of curved L infinity algebras. And the curving is because it's not pointed, because there's no section of the map from X to X Dirac.
Okay, good. So that's what X Dolbo is. And then when I want to describe maps into X using this family,
well, I mean, X is kind of formally kind of affine over X Dirac.
Yes.
So it's determined by push forward.
Like a map to X Dirac plus like a section.
If we take that, you know, there's a bundle on X Dirac, it's fibers of the jet scheme. It's jets of functions.
Uh-huh.
So X is the spectrum of that. Okay. Right? So if we take flat sections of the jet bundle, it's just functions on X. So we're viewing, first we replace X by the ring space, X ROM with the jet bundle.
Yes.
And then use causal duality to replace that by the lead space.
Okay.
X ROM with the algebra.
Right. I'm sort of, this is maybe like only mentally useful for me and possibly Justin, but like, Bezu Kavnikov and Kalin, they use a version of this trick in their like algebraic deformation quantization paper. Where it's exactly this kind of, you think about a holomorphic function as kind of choosing a Taylor series at every point, and then there's some sort of notion of all the Taylor series matching up to give you a real function is a flatness condition of, which is like trying to translate what you were just saying.
That's
equivalent. And somehow being like, and probably this is like exactly what you're doing, so I'm just kind of processing it in my own words. They sort of do that, and then they say, aha, we know how to deformation quantize locally everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Just do that everywhere, keep the flat connection.
Yeah, that's more or less exactly the story that I'm going to tell now,
They probably call it Fedosov quantization too.
Yes. Fedosov quantization in algebraic context.
Okay, so there are two natural operators that I can define on sections of this bundle. on one of them, I'll denote delta, and this is going to eat one of the y guys and give me a dz. And delta star, which is going to do exactly the opposite. And I'm going to normalize this. So delta inverse will be delta star divided by p plus r when I'm acting on p star forms tensor sim r. Okay. Okay, so let's fix a connection. Nabla on the tangent bundle that's torsion free. Compatible with the complex structure, i.e. the Atiya class vanishes, and compatible with the symplectic structure. So such things always exist, but unlike the Levi-Civita connection, they're not unique. These are called symplectic connections. So this will induce a connection on the Weyl bundle that I'm going to abusively denote by the same symbol. Okay, so the idea of Fedosov quantization is this connection isn't flat, but I can make it flat by adding certain quantum corrections to it, and then the flat sections will be in bijection with smooth functions on my manifold. And this connection is also compatible with the Moyal product in a way that I can then use that bijection with smooth functions to define deformation quantization to define a star product on smooth functions.
I'm a little confused as to why we're introducing a star product to talk about an E1 algebra, 73 algebra. This seems strange to you.
That's reasonable. I don't think I have a good answer to that question. I think maybe once I derive the action functional, it'll be more transparent whether I'm just like repackaging the repackaging Chern-Simons theory for the L infinity structure here in some way. So this isn't flat, but can add quantum corrections to make it so. Okay. So I'll in order to tell you what I mean by quantum corrections, I'll need some expressions for the curvature. So because this is complex compatible, the curvature is only going to have 2, 0 and 1, 0 components. So I can write the curvature again in indexful notation as so. And going to define some sections of the vial bundle that come from contracting these coefficients with some sections of the cotangent bundle. Okay, and I should note that I'm raising and lowering indices using the symplectic form rather than a metric, so there's some, this may look like the usual Riemann curvature tensor, but some of the symmetry properties are a little bit different because of the skew symmetry of the symplectic form. Okay, so in terms of this tensor, I can rewrites the curvature as just bracketing with this section. In fact, you can rewrite just the connection as bracketing with some section because like every derivation of the vial algebra is inner. So But we just need this expression for the curvature, and the Bianchi identity for the curvature tensor will tell us that this section satisfies this. Okay.
So one last dumb question: what does the vial bundle have to do with anything that appeared before that? Like, why did they just appear out of nowhere? I mean, like, I know if I want to do Fedosov quantization, I look at, like, the vial bundle, but why is it related to anything that happened before?
I mean, there's a configuration which makes it the same as the Riemann complex coefficients
and
jets.
Okay.
So it's the same thing with a different product.
Okay, good.
I'm also confused as why the product is just bundled, so.
Okay, so so proposition, there exists a connection W in the form D equals nabla minus delta plus 1/h bar I, where I is one form on X valued in sim greater than or equal to 3. It's flat modulo h bar. Okay. So we'll just give a sketch of the proof. So you can compute d squared directly, and d squared acting on a section, you can rewrite as bracketing with something, and you can, in order for d squared to be zero, it suffices to show that that something is zero. So it suffices to show that the following holds. Okay. And so the way we do this is we're going to construct I satisfying the following. Just by iteration, so the leading term will be this guy here, and at each step I'm increasing the sim degree. So since this isn't the completed symmetric algebra, this eventually will converge. So we do this by iteration. Right, so now we want to show that such an I satisfies the desired equation. So the way you do this is to show I satisfies star, let's let A be the difference between these two things. At h bar equals zero, and so the idea show that A satisfies the equation delta A equals nabla A plus 1 over h bar bracket A, along with an initial condition such that del inverse A equals 0. Argue that any such solution must be zero. Okay. Yeah. So this last step will rely on the fact that right. I guess I didn't tell you this, but these operators here, they clearly satisfy the following identity. So these are del inverse gives us like a homotopy between the identity and projection onto the zero star component. This last step here will use that pi zero of A is zero, which is only true because I've modded out by h bar. So this assumption here is essential. In Fatisov's original proof, I guess he constructs a connection that's flat even with the h bar terms, and that's because this projection operator isn't onto the onto the zero star guys. It's just onto the smooth functions. Okay. Okay, so the reason I went through all that is because this functional I is going to appear in the action functional for Zansky-Witten theory.
There's something I always thought was the action functional for Zansky-Witten theory, and I don't see why.
Sorry?
I mean, there's something I always thought was the Zansky-Witten action. I just don't see why this is the same. I have no idea.
Once I write down the BV action, I'll also write down the original Rozansky-Witten action that's like in the original papers and do a little comparison, I guess.
I never wrote the original papers.
I see. Okay. What would you say is the Rozansky-Witten action?
Simon's action.
The transition, just for GX.
So what I think is happening is that you're choosing a particular, like to write down this infinity space, you have to choose an exponential map.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you're choosing some particular exponential map associated with this connection that gives you a particular formula for the action. With different exponential maps, it's just a change of coordinates, it doesn't matter. It can be the same theory.
I see. Okay. Okay, right. So to continue, I need a way of cooking up local functionals from sections of the Weyl bundle. So let me there's a map which I'm just If I have something that's just it's clear what to do. If I just have something in here, I can just send it to integral over just eat the tangent component, and then maybe this is in some k. There are k inputs here, and I'll extend this. AX linearly, with the convention that row I will be zero if I doesn't depend on any of these guys. Okay, so with all that in hand, the action is as follows. Alpha is integral over M. The kinetic term is this, and the interaction term is this. Okay.
I'm sure this is the same thing as saying take this Lie algebra and write down the turn Simon function. The reason is the kinetic terms are the same.
Mm-hmm.
And any ways of constructing an interacting term is the same way as describing a curved L infinity structure with an invariant pairing. Like if this satisfies the classical master equation, it describes a curved L infinity structure with an invariant pairing.
Mm-hmm.
There is only one way to do such a thing, given a homomorphic splitting manifold. Because otherwise you would be taking a homomorphic splitting manifold and building a different homomorphic splitting manifold. It's the same data. Understand? Given the effect, the set of possible action functionals is like the set of ways of building a family of homomorphic symmetric manifolds over extra RAM. And there is only one way to do that.
Okay.
So, I think there's some particular exponential map that leads to these particular formulas, which might be useful for computation, but I don't think it's conceptually that important.
Okay. I think the reason they went through all of this maybe is that it's particularly easy to see that this action satisfies the classical master equation, I guess.
The Schoen-Simons action does already. I mean, that's
true.
The action is the same thing as writing down an L infinity structure.
Right.
And we know from Kausal duality that there is one. We just don't really have a good formula for it. This just produces a formula.
I see.
It's my guess.
Okay. Yeah, I think that makes sense. Okay.
If you'd also look in the papers of Kaplanov and Konsevich from about 97.
Mm-hmm.
So they also write down the cell infinity structure, except they don't use, they didn't realize they needed to use the curving, so they're missing a little bit. But they say exactly what I said. Like abstractly, there's an infinity structure. If we have a Kähler metric, hyperkalometric, we can write down a formula, and if we compute it in that metric, we'll find things like the Ricci curve, the Riemann curvature tensor appearing as a structure constant.
Hmm. I see.
But you don't have to use that particular exponential map. You can use any exponential map you like.
Okay. Okay. Great.
Part of this whole business may be kind of a way of avoiding using the hyperkähler metric and instead depending only on the symplectic structure.
Maybe they use the Fetisov connection. So the key point, what you need is a way to identify the tangent space at every point with the formal labor of that point. Mm-hmm. So that's like an exponential map. And you can show that such a thing exists by abstraction theory, or you can try to build one. And sure, you're giving a symplectic connection is enough data to build an exponential map.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I said this in words, but the proposition implies that S satisfies the classical master equation. Okay. Okay, so now let me try and address why you might call such a thing Rozansky-Witten theory, and maybe some of the things that Kevin just said will be implicit in some of the things that I'm about to say. But if you come across some 3D TQFT and you wanted to check that it was Rozansky-Witten theory, one thing that you might try and do is dimensionally reduce on S1 and let check that you got the B model, and we can do that here. So let's take M to be sigma cross S1. And dimensional reduction means that I'm going to restrict to harmonic forms along S1. So the my fields are going to decompose as follows. And I have the term with harmonic one forms. So of course, this just gives me a degree shift.
Was there a metric on the close three manifold all along, or are we introducing one now for?
That's a good point. Later I will. When I talk about quantization, I'll definitely introduce a metric in order to define like a gauge fixing operator. But I guess here, yes, in order to make sense of what the word harmonic means, I need to fix the metric.
Harmonic function on S1, just constant.
Yeah. You could say S1 invariant.
Okay.
Same thing.
So that doesn't require a metric.
Okay, let me just. So here I'm using the holomorphic symplectic structure to identify GX with GX dual. And then, so this is, of course, which this is the tangent space at a constant map the mapping space from sigma to rom to T star shifted by one of x del bar.
I'm sorry, the shifted by one disappeared because it got sucked into the H1?
Yeah.
What shifted by one?
When you dualized, you also removed a
this one's here and there.
All right. I see. It was when you dualized, it was when you wrote down the decomposition. I see.
Right. So this is like a check at the level of the space of fields. In the paper, they say that like this gives you the B model, and I guess here the shifted symplectic structure is the like the it's the AKSZ one. So I'm just like it's like I guess the action would look like the Chern-Simons action for the L-infinity structure here. So I guess implicit in that statement is that like before I did the dimensional reduction, the
right.
action was the Chern-Simons one. For, okay. Okay. We can also just compare this with the original formulation of the theory. Okay. So in the original formulation, the fields are as follows. So the bosonic fields were just smooth maps for M to X. The fermions so I have two kinds of fermions. Some are just sections of the pullback of the anti-holomorphic tangent bundle, and others are one forms with coefficients in the same pullback. And the action up to BRST exact terms reads as follows. So you can see that the kinetic terms are the same. So here, nabla is some symmetric connection, and also also its pullback, and right. So if I choose nabla to be symplectic compatible, then this term will go away. And we can see that if we were to expand this term in the neighborhood of constant maps, we can at least see that to first order we would get the same thing that was in the interaction I over there.
So for them, this is the twist of the Engels four sigma model, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, when X is hypercamber.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, the original formulation X was hypercamber, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, in the appendix, they extend that to complex simplet.
Right, so if we expand this in the neighborhood of constant maps, then we can use parallel transport by this connection to identify all the cotangent fibers in the neighborhood of the constant point that we've picked. So phi is just now a function that's valued in the tangent space, and this is some one form valued in the same guy. And so that's like two of our BV fields, and then since we're working in the BV formalism, and this guy will have some gauge transformations, we can see like the full BV space of fields that we wrote down appearing. Okay. So hopefully you're convinced that the thing that I wrote down is in fact Rosansky-Witten theory. Okay. So the next thing that I want to tell you about is what the classical observables look like. So by definition, the classical observables on some open set, given by the following let me call this this functional that was appearing here ICL. And so the observables are the following DGA, where this is the P0 bracket that you have on observables of a classical field theory. And U is forms on U valued in the Salenfindi algebra GX. Let me fix some open that's homeomorphic to a handle body.
It's DM.
This is just like pullback by the I'm taking like the symmetric algebra on the dual of forms DM will act on an observable that depends on a form by just applying it to the form. Okay, so let's compute what this guy looks like on the sandal body. So the symplectic pairing induces getting ahead of myself. So like, how are we going to do this? So if you look at the differentials here, this guy is only going to act on the forms on M part. And the other piece is going to act only here, and it's going to increase the form degree on X. So what we'll do is we'll filter this guy according to the form degree on X, and then we'll compute this using the spectral sequence associated to that filtration. Filter. I'm going to denote the kth filtered piece like this. Hopefully it's clear what I mean. Like an observable here will depend on like some number of dx's and some number of dz's and some vector field, and I just mean the observables that depend on more than k dz's here. Okay. So then we have a spectral sequence whose U1 page is going to just look like the cohomology with respect to this with this differential. So let's compute the cohomology with respect to this.
Sorry, can we just step back? What's the interaction between M and HG? Do I want to just take M to be like HG times R?
M and HG. This is a three handle. A three dimensional open handle body, so boundary connect sum of solid tori.
I see.
So that in the end you want to like decompose your three.
I see.
Yeah.
Back together.
We're just taking M to be a filled in handle body.
I guess usually think of the observables as like a co-sheaf on the spacetime. So I just want to take some open set that's homeomorphic to an open handle body.
Will this ultimately become a module for an algebra associated to the boundary? Is that what's going to happen?
Maybe. I don't think they identify any such structure in the paper, but I think the vector space I think will be isomorphic to like the calculation of like the Hilbert space that's done elsewhere.
Yes, okay.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll compute this using the spectral sequence associated to this filtration, and the E1 page is going to be the cohomology with respect to DM, so we should compute that. The symplectic pairing lets me identify this with compactly supported distributional sections, and the Atiabot, results of Atienbot, tells you that the inclusion of compactly supported smooth sections is a quasi-isomorphism. So we can just compute ordinary just compactly supported cohomology of the handle body. So the E1 page looks like the following. Just have with just this differential. Okay, and we can compute this explicitly because we can use it deformation retracts just onto like a wedge of circles. So there's by Poincaré duality, we're just going to have H3 and H2. So the results that we get. Right.
Exactly. You didn't mean a wedge of circles, you meant onto like a.
Even to a wedge of circles.
It's a solid.
It's a solid.
Oh,
it's
a solid.
Filled in.
Yeah, it's filled in, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, this is see. Okay. And then my base change, can write this as extensor wax. Which is like the vial bundle mod H bar tensor G copies of the exterior algebra of the holomorphic cotangent bundle. This is over OX. Okay. So what about the differential now? So I claim that this differential, so that this actually, so I have an isomorphism actually of cochain complexes where this differential is identified with this operator D from before. And I didn't prove this, but so it's a quick proof that's in the paper that that's the vial bundle with the vial bundle mod H bar with this differential D is quasi isomorphic to just the Dolbeau complex of O of X, and similarly this is quasi-isomorphic to the Dolbeau complex of this bundle here. So
what happened to the degree shift in the first factor? You've got sim of C tensor something, sim of CG shifted by minus two tensor something. Minus two comes because that's the HC degree two, right? But what happened to the degree three?
Right.
Why isn't it C shifted minus three?
It is C shifted by minus three, and I was just not careful about degrees in my notes, I guess. I think this should still be fine. Okay, great. But the upshot is that
it's funny with the degrees, right? Because what you're using is you want to write like your fields are the Ram complex on this handle body.
Yeah.
So your operators are the complex supported Ram complex with an appropriate shift of three. So isn't there some missing shift of three that should go into the sim of H star C there? Because like whatever your operators are, it should contain a, you know, functions on the target.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a shift in the micro duality.
Right.
That's
Is that not the shift here?
It's a bit confusing because it's C12 graded theory anyway.
Yeah, that too.
So
it's right mod two.
We're gonna have an even piece and an odd piece. What we do?
Right.
So, okay.
Okay. Caveats about degrees.
So when you make an identification between the dual of E and the compact distortion of one, into account the shift there.
Ah, there's a shift there. I see.
Yeah, that's
what I was saying. Yeah.
Here.
Yeah. That has a shift
of three or one,
depending on your conventions.
I see. Okay.
All right. Certainly, shift of alt.
Okay. Yeah, I probably can't trace through all the shifts in real time, but I think the end result is still fine.
The end result is kind of easy, right? It's the same as we got at the classical level.
This is the classical level, I guess.
But there are no one corrections.
Yeah. This is like. Yeah, that's the punchline of like the next talk, maybe, I guess.
But it's almost obvious because your the structure you're investigating is too weak to have anything interesting in it. You're just looking at the Hilbert space. It's just a coaching complex. You get something much, I think you know without any work that the observables in a ball, it's just functions in the target with some E3 structure. I feel like there isn't really enough room to have an interesting deformation of this module for that. Another really interesting structure you're going to find will be if I took an actual Riemann surface and E1 algebra. That would be an interesting E1 algebra, which will have quantum effects in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's my feeling.
I think they note in the intro of the paper that a referee pointed out that that would be interesting, but they don't pursue that in the paper.
I don't see recording. I felt like this paper wasn't the question they were asked. They asked like, "What is observables in a huddle body?" I didn't think was a great question.
Okay.
It was kind of too easy to. It didn't reveal much of the structure.
Okay, right. So the classical observables are this, and as Kevin has hinted at, the punchline is that this receives no quantum corrections, so the quantum observables is just this adjoint H-bar. Yeah. I think I'm probably out of time.
Good time to.
Yeah. This is also like a natural stopping point. So do people want me to continue with this next time, or is this like a?
I put it in the seminar calendar, so you're stuck.
I see. Okay, it's immutable.
And that next week, is it?
Yeah. And then Agarwal.
So let's hope there are too many.